Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to issue 4262 of The Bugle, the official podcast of the British monarchy. Ever since Sir Jesus Christ anointed Solomon King of all conceivable Britons at the Battle of Trafalgar after jousting the Armada off the park at Wembley in 1966. I am Andy Zaltzman. It is, as we record, Monday the 8th of May 2023. We are approximately 48 hours into the official coronated kingdomarium of Charles III, or as his many billion social media followers of course know him, at Chucky Triple Dog. And we are recording in the shed, which is festooned with Union Jack bunting, but the invisible type, the bunting that lives and quite literally breathes in the hearts of all true subjects of our septuagenarian wobbly-jowled superhero overlord and megamaster. And I'm joined in person for this week's special Bekinged Bugle by Ian Smith and Ria Lena. Welcome to the shed, both of you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here. An honour, if anything, to be in the
shed. Exactly how I picture your shed. Cricket paraphernalia.
Yes, there's a lot of cricket paraphernalia everywhere.
I did actually bring you a present.
Oh.
Because of, you know, of where we're at. And I was so worried. I was like, he will have this. Someone will have found this and bought it for him. But I did find it in Holland. So I figured there's less of a chance. And it is The Strangest Cricket Quiz Book.
Oh, right. Well, that sounds like it's going to keep me and my family hugely entertained for the rest of the year.
Yes, I figured.
Well, maybe we can do a cricket quiz later in this episode of The Bugle.
I was hoping you would say that. I would love to see how much of this you know, because I'll be honest, I flicked through it and it's Greek to me. Genuinely Greek to me.
The strangest cricket quiz.
Yeah, the strangest cricket. Well, that's the Dutch love.
It would be strange if a lot
they?
Of the questions were just not about cricket.
Still don't know the answers.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, pleasure.
That's just...
No, I'm going to ask you the questions and then you can have the rest.
All right, Right, it's quite... Have you brought me a gift?
Well, do you like apples? I've got an apple.
Right. Well, it's not as good as a quiz book, is it, Ian?
Yeah. A 2023 Moleskine diary.
Right.
But it's got a lot of my gigs in.
All right, that's, I don't have a lot in my diary, so that might be quite nice, actually.
Yeah, you can have all my gigs.
I can't believe you didn't bring a gift.
Terrible faux pas.
When you go to someone's house, you bring a gift.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, I don't really get invited to people's houses a lot.
Because you never bring gifts.
Yeah.
That reputation does get... That gets around, doesn't
it?
Yeah. Also, on this the coronation weekend, and this is because it's a national holiday, to soak up the echoes of feudalism.
Well, I've just been celebrating.
The king got loads of gifts, didn't he? Even though he already has everything.
Mm.
And yet people still... And yet you've not brought me a gift to my own shit.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. But when I do the news quiz, I'll bring in two.
All right, okay.
Because people say that the radio theatre is your second home.
All right, do they?
What I've heard.
Okay, that might be because the recording's gone so long that generally I'm sort of asleep on stage by the end.
Explains the robe and slippers.
Anyway, we are recording, as I said, and Chris is also here in person. Hello, Chris.
God save the Queen, everybody. Queen.
Oh, off with his head. Messed
Queen,
it up
Queen
already.
Doesn't
it's the gender
good.
Neutral term for our monarch that I'm sticking with.
That's right.
The Queen.
Mm. Yeah. That's, I think,
or is it the two of them together? Is that going to be their name, their pairing, you know, their couple name, the Queen?
We reported on this in last week's Bugle that they're being fused into a single. Transgender monomonarch to be referred as their majesty, I think. Yeah. So that's very exciting news.
Their majesty the Queen.
Yeah. It's
I can get behind that.
Yeah. As always, a section of the Bugle is going straight in the bin. And this week, after the controversial demand stroke request that everyone in the universe paid an oath to King Charles, we at the Bugle have developed an interactive oath to allow you to pay the right level of grovelling subservience according to your specific desire. So you can just delete and either use the true words that the King demanded or alternatives that we are providing for you. So just delete as applicable. I swear that I will pay true allegiance / 20 quid in cash / no f***ing attention whatsoever to your majesty / the woman from the Peloton adverts / our true king, Donald J. Trump. And to your heirs and successors, stroke, whoever else wants me to, I'm really not that f***ing fussed, stroke, my local bowls team, come on you jackals, according to according to law, stroke, Bananarama, stroke, Tinder, so help me, God, stroke, mummy, stroke, escape. That's interactive, choose your own oath, is our section in the bin this week. Top story this week, well, only one place to start in the world, and that is with the victory of the bookies' favourite, King Charles III. He won the crown, following in his mummy's footsteps after really seeing off all competition in a spectacular display of becoming king on Saturday in Westminster Abbey. I know neither of you was actually invited to participate, were you, in the... in the
not in the Abbey itself. Yeah. I wasn't invited to go in, but I was invited to kind of walk around with the masses,
right.
With or without a yellow placard,
right?
Going, you know, in or outside of the metal iron ring that went around it, yeah. With or without a rain mac,
right? I mean, that's really what 21st century Britain is all about, I think.
It's choice.
Ian, how did you celebrate the great occasion? Because you're of course you weren't born in 1953 without breaking confidence on your age, so you know.
Yeah,
you don't remember the previous coronation.
No but I'm almost certainly going to see another one,
right?
That's my hope, is that I at least see one more coronation. But yeah, I was supposed
to
be...
Wow, that's dark, though, isn't it?
No, what?
Like, who hopes, to say that I hope he dies in my lifetime?
How old is he?
He's 74.
No, I hear that. 74. It's pretty dark, isn't it?
No. I think you could look a 74-year-old in the face and say, I want to outlive you.
No, I get that. No, I appreciate okay. that. I mean, I was just saying, you know, I mean, you could assume you'd live to the next one, but to hope you'd live to the next one is...
Like, oh, I think that's. I
hope he goes and his wife with him.
People did say, "May the king live forever."
Yeah.
So
if he lives forever,
it's in one of the songs, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Fair play, I guess. You know, beaten by a better.
Yeah.
Better, more eternal opponent.
Yeah. If someone's immortal, I don't mind them outliving me.
Thing is, you'll never know if someone's immortal if you yourself are immortal.
Hmm.
God, that's. God, we've got very philosophical very early on here.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I could be immortal to the Queen. She'll never know.
Right.
Yeah.
But she must have thought she was immortal.
I think up until the point that Philip went.
Right.
Or when she looked into the eyes of Liz Truss and realised...
She's not.
This is the all four horsemen of the apocalypse rolled into one terrible public speaker.
Do you think Liz Truss was the devil coming back to claim her soul?
I think the devil would be more competent than Liz Truss. I don't think she has the level of admin required.
I think she's more efficient than the devil.
So?
Yeah, because it took her less than 40 days to wreak absolute havoc.
No, I guess, I hadn't really thought of it from that perspective. Obviously, it was a ridiculously over-the-top ceremony. It showed Britain at its best, and by best I mean silliest, and by silliest I mean best. It's really all we've f***ing got anymore. I mean, say what you like about the UK in the 2020s, but we still do anachronistic cosplay fetishism better than any f***ing nation on earth, and I think that's going to be the last thing that we ever lose.
I have to say, the dress-up was superb. It was absolutely brilliant dress-up. But speaking as a tax-paying Brit, I did feel that the coronation as a whole, which we paid $100 million for, $100 million we paid.
As well. Yeah.
Yes, for our overseas listeners. Yeah. We're each on a payment plan.
I'm really struggling after that.
Right.
I'm a bit annoyed by it, because I'm like, I like to forward plan. I like to be financially responsible. Am I the only one going, I'm also saving for the funeral? So... You know, there's just no thought to it. We should have two payment plans, shouldn't we? If anything, but I did feel it was a little bit like, remember when Apple put a U2 album on all of our phones? I did feel like the coronation was a little bit like that.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, that they've just sort of plonked the coronation into my finances without really asking me.
I think I was one of the few people who, when that happened, I thought that was quite nice. I didn't listen to it or like it, but I thought that's very generous.
All right. But that's also the way a lot of people look at the monarchy here, is that they don't pay any attention to it. But, you know, it's just nice to know.
But how generous.
It's there. If we want to have the option of feeling that we have a superior feudal overlord, it's always there to dip into.
Yeah.
Well, what were the highlights for you of the the actual ceremony, what bits really grabbed you?
Well, I didn't watch. I would say I didn't watch any of it.
Right.
But then I remembered that I sort of have an obligation of topical humour sometimes. So then I would like watch bits. And the Daily Mail website is very good for like has like hundreds of articles in minute detail. So there's one thing I was looking. This is about Prince George. I hate how subservient they are to like a 9-year-old, but they described him as thriving in the most important role of his life. And from what I gained from the bits that I saw, is he was carrying the cape as they were walking down, so he's just like lifting it up, thriving. Feels like they've gone. He's nailed picking a thing up and not either dropping it or losing focus or concentration.
But you have to remember, he's heir to the throne. That's probably the only thing he's ever picked up for himself in his life.
Yeah.
I think there was a real skill there.
I thought it was really interesting that it was Prince George was the only grandson of the king as a page boy, and the other five were all Camilla's grandkids. I was like, it's a Parker Bowles takeover. You know, like in 200 years, the Parker Bowles are going to be on the throne. You know what I mean? And they're all older and bigger than him as well. So he was there going, I'm taking part. And I'm like, you going down, boy. You are going down. They're coming to get
you.
They're
going to get medieval on him. Just like the old days.
I don't know if this is a nice thing to say about a 9-year-old.
Prep him for eating.
But I think he looks smug as I think sometimes there's a little picture of it and he looks like he's like he knows he's going to be king. Like, I'm sure I read a story once about him saying something at school where someone had said something to him and he was like, yeah, well, I'm going to be king. I hate that attitude. But I don't know why. It's not healthy for me to dislike a 9-year-old.
Although, I guess to be fair to him, that's accurate. Whereas when you know, the child Boris Johnson said he wanted to be king of the world, that should have raised rung some serious.
Yeah, to be fair to him, he knows his lineage.
Yeah, and also, you know, he was born magic. He was born instantly appointed prince because, you know, you've either got it or you haven't, haven't you? You know, he just popped out of the womb. Bang. They tested him. They did one of those, like, skin prick tests. 100% prince.
And, was it? Came out blue, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can't. I mean, you've got a medical background, really. You know that you can't fake that kind of thing, can you?
No, not at all. You know, they do it in the heel as well.
Yeah.
I have to say, is it wrong as well? I totally agree with you. You should never begrudge a child, especially a 9-year-old. And he is just a child. But at the same time, when he came out a boy, after we did all of that chat about changing, you know, changing the law about whether or not a girl could inherit, and then he came out a boy, and we went, oh, all that for nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm open to him identifying however he wishes to identify as he grows older, because I think there's room for it. I think we're open to it. I'm excited to see what happens.
Queen.
Yes. He'll be queen all by himself. Their Majesty.
Of course, Charles, you know, wasn't a foregone conclusion, despite what everyone says. He did have to pass the final tests in the couple of days before the coronation. On Friday, he completed a circuit of the Silverstone motor racing circuit in his gold horse-drawn carriage at an average speed of 176 miles an hour. That was well over the 150 mile an hour average needed to prove yourself monarch-level king quality. And then he completed a 147 maximum break behind closed doors at the Crucible Theatre in Sheffield, using his sceptre as the snooker cue and the Royal Orb as the cue ball. So we do know we are getting a proper, authentic king. Also, I mean, there was a lot of talk about how, you know, this was, you know, there was tradition, but also it was pared back from the more lavish ceremonies of the past. It was much more modern. And you might have thought watching it, well, if this is pared back and modern, then I'm surprised that the 1953 coronation ever ended. But I mean,
we skip? What bits did we skip and what was more modern about it?
Oh, well, no one built a henge during the service. Mm. Okay. So that's quite modern.
Yeah. The crown was put on by a drone.
Yeah.
You could hear that. Yeah. And then sort of getting that on.
Yeah.
I suspected Camilla wasn't actually there. I thought it was a bot.
It's quite possible.
Because she looked a little confused, didn't she? And then it didn't fit, and you just go, you think they would have thought of this sooner.
I think it was a projection, I think, because I remember Katy Perry walked through her at one point.
Right, looking for her seat, because she couldn't find where she was sitting.
And in fact, when they went behind a screen, he was officially bekinged with that. There was some kind of special oil that I think was
Was the oil from, it was taken from, I think, the car that Nigel Mansell won the Formula One World Championship in back in the 90s.
True British tradition.
And, but it was, the Archbishop of Canterbury was replaced by an automated multi-faith robo-priest that sacrificed 300 children behind that screen in under 10 seconds, which, I mean, that's the kind of efficiency you get from modern technology.
Are you serious? They put a screen up and instead of replacing the king, they replaced the Archbishop? Yep. I mean, they missed a trick there, didn't they?
There were some protests. 64 unarmed anti-monarchy protesters were arrested, which is a bit hypocritical, I thought, because the king was allowed to wander around quite openly with a sword and no one kicked up a fuss, and there were loads of cannons fired without the Met Police twitching an eyebrow.
So. Penny Morton had a sword for most of it, and no one twitched an eyebrow. Yeah. And if you saw her leadership campaign, I wouldn't give that woman a weapon.
She was voted Britain's sexiest MP. At one point.
Right, during the service.
Are you serious?
This is a description of Penny Morton. Everything about her description sounds mad. The leader of the House of Commons and Lord President of the Council carried the sword of state, presenting the jewelled sword of offering to King Charles. She has risen from featuring on ITV's diving show, Splash, being voted Britain's sexiest MP and serving as a Royal Navy reservist. And now she's I don't know what she does. I guess is she just an MP now?
Well, she's the Lord Privy thingy, all the stuff you read.
Oh,
yeah.
She's head of that stuff.
Oh well, fair enough to it. But it's amazing that you can go from ITV's Splash to whatever she's doing now.
Yeah. Gives hope to Daryl Hannah, doesn't it, for future career?
Who's he?
She. She was in Disney's Splash. Oh,
this episode is not going well for me. I didn't bring a gift. I've misgendered a Daryl.
Penny Morton is a cabinet minister. She's minister for holding up a sword whilst failing to invest in public services. So,
boom.
But also, I mean, I did feel a bit sorry for Charles at that point because to have a member of parliament hoving over his shoulder with a sharpened blade. That's got to be triggering for King Charles, given what happened just a couple of hundred yards away up Whitehall to 50% of all the previous King Charleses.
I thought it was 100%.
Well, no, there was a Charles II who wasn't.
Was he not?
No.
Only the first.
Only the first.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought they.
No, it's only 50%.
Oh. Yeah. What happened to the second one?
Well, I think he just had a spectacular number of mistresses and then died.
Yeah. Did he just lived a life and then?
Yeah.
Died of natural causes.
The party king. Yeah,
he was.
Died of exhaustion.
In fact, the some of the opulence of the coronation is specifically because Charles II. So they melted down one of the crowns, didn't they? And he was like, "Build me one that's bigger and better." And so, the crown is because Charles II went. It needs to be bling.
Yeah, he loved his bling, and he was given Mumbai as a wedding present. I think we might have reported on the Bugle.
Gosh, that really puts Camilla's gift in perspective.
Yeah, it puts me in the shade.
there was also a very large pro-monarchy demonstration, and hundreds of fervent pro-monarchy ultras were kettled by the police directly into Westminster Abbey. So there were protests on both sides. Now,
I heard about that one. I think Prince Harry accidentally got swept up into that.
Yeah, he did.
And didn't intend. He meant to be outside.
So well, it came to the I don't know. Yeah, his role in the nation now, because we like to tag our monarchs with a nickname in this country. Obviously, we had Ethelred the Unready, William the Conqueror, Bloody Mary. Who was a 16th century grumpstress who liked a tipple while burning a heretic. There was this 13th century war fan, Edward I, known as Edward Longshanks. That was the earliest version of rhyming slang that has been historically documented. And of course, recently, Charles III's predecessor, Elizabeth the Unremittingly Politically Neutral. But then, of course, we've had others, Edward the Embarrassingly Nazi-ish in the 1930s, briefly, Victoria the Can't Let Go of Her Ex, Charles the No-Headed, I just mentioned, and Henry the Horny. So, I don't know, to this, maybe, given that he looks so grumpy during the coronation, I think we're going to have Charles the Slightly Hacked Off by Minor Inconveniences, will be how he is.
There is something like... And sort of understandable to anyone who's been to any event or weddings and stuff, that it's supposed to be like the happiest day of your life, but stuff happens that's irritating. But there's something so unlikable about seeing someone in a gold carriage being in a bit of a grump, because maybe someone hasn't come quite in time and is like, nah, someone hasn't opened the door to my gold carriage quick enough. And you're like, fuck, cheer up, for fuck's sake.
But he was lip-read, apparently saying we can never be on time, complaining that it was running late. I mean, to be fair...
Was unhappy?
Yeah.
With it not being on time?
The card, yeah.
Because
there were no Ubers available because it's a very busy day. The black cabs are too expensive, even for the royal family. Mm. So he ended up having to get an imitation gold cart and wobble his way.
Yeah, the one that took him back didn't even have air conditioning.
I know.
Outrageous.
It is.
Really?
Yeah, the suspension was shot. I mean, it was a bumpy ride.
There was one point during the service when he put on a single white glove and he was lip-read saying, which prick forgot to pack the other glove? Why do I only have one f***ing glove? And it was kind of shades of Mexico 1968 in the Olympics with the one glove. Those two athletes. I mean, the whole day was very much a white power protest.
Do you think if the Royals didn't exist, would lip readers and body language experts have any work? That seems to be it's all they do. Yeah. And it's all stuff like body language expert says, man with folded arms and frowning was not happy. Yeah. You're like, yeah, well, I think I could be a body language expert really easily. They seem relaxed. The man waving his finger in someone's face is angry. I just think it's a bullshit job for idiots. If you're listening,
can you tell how I feel without seeing me?
Yeah. They don't tend to listen to podcasts either.
Yeah. And they don't give you the juicy stuff as well. You want them to watch it and tell you when someone's farting. You know what I mean? You want them to sit there and go, that wasn't a dress adjust.
Yeah. The tilt that you think is covering it up.
Yeah.
But why else would you just tilt on your side slightly?
Your underwear's gone up your bum.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah. But you shouldn't there'd be some official Knight of the Realm whose job it was to unpick the underwear from the royal butt cheeks on the occasion. Well, I don't know if Claire Balding was
I think they cover that when they put the screen.
Oh, yeah.
They put the screen around. So that if Charles needs, this is the time to pee, poo, fart, whatever you need to do it now.
There we go.
Before we oil you up.
He was also lip-read saying various other things, including, this hat hurts. Am I still allowed to choose one person from the congregation to hunt and shoot with Henry VIII's crossbow, or has that been woked off as well? And he also said, fucking hell, it's Floella fucking Benjamin off 1980s kids' telly. Awesome. I was a bit disappointed, though, and I'm sure both of you as stand-up comedians would have been disappointed by this as well, that he needed prompt cards for the whole thing, even bits where all he had to say was basically yes. Read yes off a card. I mean... because it's not like doing an Edinburgh show having suddenly started to work on it 2 weeks previously, if I may delve into my own personal experience. He's had 70 fucking years to learn the script for this, which hasn't really changed since his mummy did it back in 53, and yet he still needed these cards. Just write it on the back of your fucking hand.
Well, I mean, I have to say the one thing that really struck me was the fact that we're supposedly, this is a ceremony that marries the head of the church to the state. So he becomes the head of the church and the head of the state. Why aren't you running this show? Why are you not? Why is everyone else knowing what they're doing and you're sitting there going, what's next? I'm just going, wow, we're not, this does not look good to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay? I was unimpressed.
Biden still does his own speeches,
Yeah.
And he's older than Charles.
Time. Yeah.
Time, yes.
He does sometimes say the wrong country in his speeches. I think he declared war with Slovenia at one point. Yeah. One thing I found, I was watching the coronation concert thing, and as a comedian, William did a speech, and this is the joke he did. He said, he did the speech and went, unlike Lionel Richie, I won't go on all night long. And then got the biggest laugh of just... everyone clearly thinking, well, we have to laugh or we get murdered here. But just people are, bowling over, slapping their thighs. It just made me so angry. Right. I did a gig last night and there was a hen do in. And I said, is this a hen do? And one of the women on the hen do went, more like a hen don't. and it got a huge laugh. And I wanted to walk off stage immediately because if that's what you want, I can't offer you that sort of level.
But only, of you know, he's the heir to the throne. The only way he could have been upstaged comedically from a joke like that would be with a cat getting scared by a cucumber. That's the only possible thing that could be funny.
That's good watch.
Yeah.
Would you take a 5-minute set following Katy Perry at the coronation if it come through and you're offered it?
Well, gig's a gig, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it would be... It's a huge gig. But I imagine the feedback online would be terrible.
Yeah. But I don't know what you do with it. Because I can't remember what any of my stand-up is, to be honest. I'd have a joke about the invisible hand, and that's about all I can remember. So.
That would go down great, because you could tie it to the one glove.
No, the one glove, and also, I think...
Topical. Boom, you're in.
That was Prince Andrew's defence, and the case was that his hand was invisible or something, wasn't it? Well, that's how he got away with it.
You know, actually, saying that, because there were 20,000 people there, even though they say do a 5-minute set, I think it's really worth one joke. By the time the laughter rolls all the way back, hits the king, and comes all the way forward again, you're done.
Yeah, just a bit of crowd work, and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It would have been great, because I don't know when did William's speech happened before or after Katy Perry? Because what would have been great is if you went on before William and said, hey, don't worry, I'm not going to go on all night long, and do his joke before him.
Just to see him. To see Prince William do 5 minutes of improv.
Yeah.
Just asking the audience for suggestions.
What's your name? What do you do?
Part of the controversy, they had to play the national anthem. And after the invocation to save... for God to save our gracious king. The king, according to tradition, did dive headfirst from the highest tower in the castle towards the royal crocodile pit, and God did send an angel in a train bark wingsuit to swoop down, catch the monarch before he could be bechomped by the waiting reptiles, and gently place him atop the adoring crowd, whereby withfrom he could symbolically crowd surf back to the castle, the king at once supported by and existing above his loving throng. That's direct from the BBC commentary transcript.
That was the modern bit.
Yeah, I think it was. The sent him victorious bit. Now, apparently God listens, it's got a bit preemptive and thought there was still another word to come. And within 5 seconds, a delivery rider rang the doorbell at Windsor Castle with a package of 36,525 pairs of high-grade underpants from lingerie monger Victoria's Secret, one for each day of the first 100 years of his hopefully eternal reign. Then happy and glorious. Happy, well, I mean, he had a pretty f***ing grumpy face on during the hat fitting on Saturday, so let's hope he cheered up by Sunday. And happy and glorious, that was misheard. And instantly a selection of leading people called Gloria were ushered into the king's secret kinging chamber at Windsor Castle for him to do with as he so chose, including the singer Estefan, the radio and TV presenter Honeyford, the former world number 45 ranked tennis player Gloria Pizzichini, and America's former world number 1 ranked feminist Gloria Steinem. Negotiations for the gradual release of the Glorias continue as we record today.
Do you think Prince William's going to have a whole room full of Peggy's? Sorry.
There was much talk of the regalia worn and all these extraordinary clothes that we don't see. There's the robe of righteousness. Mm. Did you... which I think they nicked from a hotel. That was like... which you're not supposed to do.
You don't want to put a UV light on that, do you?
Yeah.
Nothing from a hotel is clean.
The jockstrap of justice, of course, the crotchless Y-fronts of compassion. They sort of cancel each other out. The gimp mask of grace and majesty, and of course the strap-on of serenity. That goes back to Charles II, I believe. There was the bracelet of sincerity and wisdom at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I thought was the least British object in the world. That sincerity has never been a national strong point. And wisdom has taken an absolute f***ing battering in this country in recent years. We've done away with experts, with science funding, we underfund education. The closest we get to wisdom is a keep calm and carry on tea towel. So this to me was the most unpatriotic thing that the king could have been asked to put on. The bangle of snark and apathy, I think, would have been more appropriate for
the sarcasm bracelet.
Yeah.
But I think Camilla was wearing the necklace of passive aggression,
really?
Wasn't she? I mean, that's very British.
Yeah. There was the rod of equity and mercy.
Oh no.
Yes.
We all give our penises nicknames.
So, yes, there was a rod, the rod of equity and mercy. So, now, if you were wondering where the concepts of equity and mercy have gone in British politics, because they don't really appear in government policy, it turns out they're stuck inside a f***ing rod. And that rod is kept under lock and key, except on special royal occasions. There was one extraordinary, very misreported story about an incident in Bath, in the historic Royal Crescent area of Bath, in which a couple of days before the coronation, so-called pranksters were alleged to have mown a shape into the usually primly primped lawn that might be possibly interpreted as a large, how to put this delicately on a family show, gentleman's plunkster and plumbles. I mean, I don't know. I mean, just 2 days before the coronation, I mean, this seemed... also, thanks to all the Bugle listeners who alerted us to this story via social media. And when I say all, I think I mean everyone who listens to the show sent us some kind of social media link to the story in case we'd missed it. So thank you to all of you. I don't know what you thought of this, because I have an alternative explanation. But what did you think this was an appropriate thing to do to one of Britain's foremost lawns?
It just looks like someone's done the rod of equity and mercy. Right.
With a couple of bangles of...
Yes.
Of joy.
Because, I mean, people said this was inappropriate and crude. But I've actually looked into the...
It's remarkably anatomically inaccurate, isn't it?
Well, but there is a reason for that, Rhea. And that's because it wasn't supposed to be anatomically accurate. It was, in fact, a tribute to the royal family, steeped in history. Now, let me explain what what was actually mown into the grass as tribute in the week of the coronation. There were the two rounded circular shapes at the bottom of the figure, at the end of two longer parallel lines, ending with a line across between those two parallel lines, then a semicircle with a small additional line at its tip. Now, the rounded circular shapes, of course, represent two different things. The first, on the left, represents a small round Scottish lake wherein King James VI of Scotland bathed and slaked his royal thirst before journeying south in 1603 after the death of Elizabeth I to unify the crowns of England and Scotland. The Scottish word for small is, of course, bol, and lake is loch, and that gave the body of its water its commonly applied name of bollock. The other round circle, of course, represents the church in the form of the synod meeting space of the cathedral in the ancient royal market city of Goole in Yorkshire, where I believe you yourself are from. The priests in Goole, of course, always met in a circular formation to promote equality under God's eye and in the open air, so they might have a more direct line of communication with God above. The synod was thus placed in a meadow outside the famous cathedral of Goole, a meadow or lee, to give it its ancient term, and is thus represented in the image as the Goolee. The long shaft-like part of the mown shape in Bath recreates the outline of the so-called Map of the Heart, a sacred tapestry tapestrized by St. Loniface of Winchester, the 12th century Norman clergyman archbishop, who created a long rectangular diagram illustrating the relationship between the love of God for all humanity, humanity's reciprocal love of God, and the love of the church for the king and the love of the king for his people. The Map of the Heart, in courtly French, of course, known as the Plan de Coeur or Plan Coeur. The semicircular,
oh my God.
The semicircle at the head of the Plan Coeur represents the ancient round table of King Edward the Confessor's courtly parliament, which was split in two sections for the different roles of the state at the time. One half was for planning things to be done in the land, the agend, from the Latin gerund agenda, and the other half of the table was for planning wars to be fought, also from a Latin gerund, that term being bellend. The small additional line in the bellend was carved later in the table by Richard I, the Lionheart himself, in the year 1192, when he slammed his sword down when demanding further funding for his crusade, a chivalrous act known as the Hol, that's the same etymology as the holler, to arms, and the mark made by Richard thus became known as the Dick Hol. So... Lord and Dorman in Bath was, in fact, not some people being incredibly juvenile, but was a moving historical tribute to our royal heritage.
Mm, one of the most educational dick jokes.
That was marvellous. I was going to counter with, or that was just literally where they were going to put the table for the garden party, and the long bit is for the adults, and the two small round ones is for the kids.
Right. It's quite possible.
To find the article again, I googled Swindon penis. And the first result that comes up is that article, and the second result is for an official Ferrari dealer in Swindon called Dick Lovett. So even just the word penis, they've gone, well, that is close to Dick in his name. But also, Dick Lovett is a fantastic name for a Ferrari dealer. Sounds like a sitcom character. Dick Lovett's Ferrari dealership.
Animals news now. Ian, you are the Bugle's in-house David Attenborough.
Good.
You are the, you know, you report on all things from the natural kingdom for us. I know you've been out for several months now in the undergrowth of the world looking for...
Yeah, well, since my last appearance on the Bugle, I found three stories about animals.
Right.
You'd think there'd be more in the news about animals. But this is something from the north that I saw, which there's a bleakness to the headline, which I think sums up the north. A dead whale had to be removed from Bridlington Beach after it became a tourist attraction.
So, that's how desperate we are in the UK for entertainment.
Yeah, even people aren't going to Bridlington for just in and of itself of going, oh, it's a lovely beach, let's have an ice cream. But then they're being told there's a rotting carcass on the beach. And it's apparently become a tourist attraction, which makes it sound like a gift shop's been set up and there's key rings, sort of funny novelty T-shirts. Like, I'm with the dead whale carcass and a little arrow pointing to the side. Beluga, I don't even know her. Stuff like that. A lot of fun T-shirts. And security staff around it. Because apparently criminal gangs and thieves will target whale carcasses for the illegal trade of their bones, which just makes me think it's mad that, like, even up north in a place like Bridlington, you've got a criminal gang who I imagine largely deals in, like, drugs, but also has a whale jawbone contact. If they're like, we've got our bloke who brings the coke in through the ships, like, I know a bloke who, if we remove the jawbone and clean it, he'll sell it to a local museum or something. Just don't know how it would be a contact in the criminal that they, when they're doing their little plan of being like, yeah, Terry, there's a whale carcass in Bridlington. Get over there. I couldn't maintain that accent for long enough.
They took four, didn't they, from a pod elsewhere?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, that's why they were worried about it. There was a pod of whales that washed up somewhere else, and overnight, all four of their jaws had gone. Because it was just, it was a complete set.
Mm.
Which must be even rarer.
Yeah, a set of four whales.
You'd immediately go on eBay and
see if they're on there.
Nothing worse than when you have like one, and then you have two, and then they don't match.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do need four, don't you?
You do want them matching, don't you?
You definitely need four. I was intrigued, Ian, and you can share maybe some local insight.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not too far away from where you grew up, is it? A local man said, you don't expect to see anything like it, especially in Bridlington. but the fact is, Bridlington is by the sea.
Mm.
So, especially in Bridlington, you'd probably expect it in Bridlington more than, for example, in Tashkent, the capital city of the landlocked Republic of Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
Or the village of Allen, South Dakota, the furthest inhabited place from the ocean in all of North America.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, even like Doncaster and Bradford that don't have a coastline.
Yeah.
That's what you'd think. Bath, where that weird shape had been carved out.
Mm. Yeah.
What if that was literally put the whale here?
Yes. Well, I think it was about the shape and dimensions of whales.
Mm.
Gentlemanly bit.
Yeah, maybe someone had started drawing the sort of chalk outline around the body.
And then
started with the whale penis.
And then this someone doesn't make stole sense the whale. Right. And moved it to Bridlington.
And like, nah, now it just looks like someone's cock's fallen off. They said, well, they know that they've got to, you've got to remove the whale carcass because, and maybe this isn't as funny as I find it, but the whale's body, when it's decomposing, does it in the very show-offy way of just exploding. They just sort of expand like a dying star and then just burst all over everyone. Just feels like a really fun way to die. Like, if I'd like that to be the case, that's how I go. That if you don't bury me or cremate me within a week, I'm exploding.
Right.
It does tend to happen with decomposition, generally. So when a body goes missing in water and you can't find it, eventually, unless it's, you know, been tied down by something, it will eventually fill with those decomposing gases and then eventually float to the surface.
Yeah.
Which is why you have to weigh down. When people have sea burials, you have to weigh them down properly. And what happens on the Isle of Wight, I did a stint with the forensic department in Hampshire.
It sounds like you did a stint with a criminal gang.
or that. Yeah. But so when I was working in forensics, I was down on the Isle of Wight, and they have a lot of sea burials between Portsmouth and the Isle of Wight, and they have problems with, there are people who do it properly, and then you've got the sort of those rogue undertakers. So you get rogue undertakers who won't do the sea burial properly and won't weigh them down properly. And the problem is they end up washing up on the shore of the Isle of Wight. So the Isle of Wight will often get a call and just go, there's a body on the beach, and they have to go down. And of course, its hands and its feet are bound and it's possibly wrapped in something. And then they have to investigate. Is this a proper burial? Or is this a mob hit? Kind of, it surprises me because they've taken the whale away, haven't they, to do a post-mortem to see how or why it died.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, well, I think it's obvious, right? How it died?
Well, like, we don't know that. I mean, that's the start of a detective story, isn't it? It always seems obvious what happened, and then gradually you piece it together.
They don't live on the beach, right. So you stick a whale on a beach, it's going to die.
Who stuck the whale on the beach? What was the whale doing near Bridlington? I mean, that's an unlikely place for a whale to... You'd think it would go to Scarborough or the more historic city of Whitby. Why Bridlington?
Because it was an adolescent male.
Oh. We should do what they did in Hartlepool ages ago, and we should have hung the whale.
Yeah.
That's
a logistical issue, isn't it?
Yes, but whale hangers doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah, and where do you hang? How do you hang a whale?
Yeah. Well, if any of you listening know how how to hang a whale, of course. I mean, you talk about the whale exploding. The correct way to deal with a beach whale, of course, as according to history, is to blow it up with 20 cases or half a ton of dynamite in the traditional manner, as attempted by whale disposal experts in Oregon in 1970. In the greatest single video on the internet, which I think, I can't remember when we first talked about the exploding whale on the Beagle, but it is an internet phenomenon. I showed the exploding whale video to my son for the first time a couple of days ago, and I could see the light in his eyes just come bursting to life. To think, oh, there's a world in which there's a 1970 news report about an exploding whale that is the funniest thing ever.
I've just googled it.
Yeah.
And they've remastered the video. Yeah.
Well, it was its 50th anniversary in 2020, wasn't it?
Apparently.
Yeah.
What a world we live in.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh!
It's a big explosion.
They could have put...
It's raining blubber. It's raining blubber.
You see, I mean, we work in the creative arts, and no matter what we do, we could, you know, spend years trying to perfect our craft and share insights into the nature of the human condition. We will never do anything as good as the exploding whale. Right, that brings us to the end of this week's special coronation memorial bugle. Ian and Rhea, thanks very much for joining me. Any shows to plug before you go?
I'm going on tour this year, so if you're in the UK, please do check out my website and check out for dates there. Rialina.com. I'd love to see you there.
Don't go on my website. It's shit. I haven't updated it. But I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm doing a show called Crushing at 1:35 p.m. I think there's a story about going to Slovakia with my hairdresser to drive over a car with a tank. Come along, see if I've made that funny.
What more could you possibly want in an Edinburgh show? Also, you can hear me Andy Zaltzman on Tiff Stevenson's Catharsis elsewhere in the Bugle stable this week for details on that and all the other shows in the Bugle stable. Go to thebuglepodcast.com. Until next week, goodbye.